This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Joshua chapter number 5, and I want to begin reading in verse number 13. Joshua chapter number 5. If you've been with us, we started this series entitled Finishing Well, and today we're going to be talking about preparing for battle. And if you've been with us, you know where we're at. God has called Joshua to be the new leader, Israelites. He is leading them into the promised land, and God is preparing them now for battle. And we'll find ourselves in Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said this," listen, "he said, Nay, I'm not for either one of you," he's saying, "but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And Joshua did so. I want you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And this morning I want to talk about finishing well and how you and I are to prepare for our spiritual battle. God has called us to warfare, and you know that, right? Some of you are in the middle of it right now. I've heard preachers tell me before, and I've read it in books, that if you're either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm, and that's true of all of us. Some of you are getting ready to go into a storm. Some of you are facing the battle right now. You're right in the midst of it, and some of you are coming out of it. Know when you come out of it, around the corner, there is another one. And God wants to prepare us for all of the spiritual battles in life. And what the Lord did for Joshua, God can do for us. And so this is such an important chapter for us. It talks about the sovereignty of God, that God's sovereign in our lives, that God is walking with us each step of the way, and that we don't fight the spiritual battle with our fist. We fight the spiritual battle with our faith. And this is the principle that God's going to show Joshua and the children of Israel here in Joshua chapter 5. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Thank God for the reading of his word, and we'll begin to preach. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all today, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, without a doubt, with the many people that is in this room, there are folks that are going through a spiritual battle. Lord, some are in the middle of it, and they are fighting. Lord, they may be broken and bruised, battered and torn in many ways, but they are fighting. Lord, they're trying to get to the other side. There are those that will enter a battle this week. There are those that are coming out of one. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand that you prepare us, Lord, not with armies, not with fighting, not with our fist. Lord, you prepare us by faith to trust in you, that today you're already working in our tomorrows. So lead us and guide us and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, because in many ways we are depraved and broken, Lord. We need you on our side. And so help us, Lord, to yield to you and not to ourselves. We ask all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Joshua chapter number 5 is going to magnify and underline God's commitment to walk with Joshua. This is going to be a wonderful turning point in Joshua's life. The crossing of this, the Jordan River was not only a great miracle for the people of God and for Joshua, but it's also going to be a great message to the people that are living within that land. You'll read in chapter 5 and verse number 1, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea," listen, "heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over," listen, "their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. This is not only a great miracle, this is a great, awesome message to the people of the land. Their hearts are terrified at this time. They realize that God is walking with the children of Israel. They realize that this mighty, massive movement of 2 million people that's crossing into Canaan land, that they cannot be stopped because God is on their side. Now, you would expect after the people of the nations, Canaanites and Amorites, being scared and afraid, you would expect that Joshua would mobilize his army and mount an attack immediately. He's already won the psychological warfare. They're already terrified. Their hearts are trembling. They're afraid of Joshua and the people. So he's already won the psychological warfare. It would seem that the physical warfare would be an ease for him to do. All they would have to do is march on the cities, and probably those cities would lay down their swords as Joshua attacked them. However, comma, this is not God's plan for their life. God has something totally different for the children of Israel and for Joshua. Joshua is not the one leading the conquest. You need to remember that God is. And I got news for you. You're not the one leading your spiritual conquest. God is the one that is leading the spiritual conquest. And so Joshua is told to wait. It's because God's ideas are different than our ideas. How many knows that to be true? Say amen, right? God's ways are not our ways. The prophet Isaiah told us that. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It might have been a great idea now that Joshua is across the Jordan and the armies of the Canaanites are terrified and petrified of Joshua. It might have been a great idea to mobilize the army and to attack immediately, but God's ways are not Joshua's ways. And I got news for you that when it comes to your life and my life, that God's ways are not your ways. God works on a different timeline. We need everything today, and we want everything immediately, but God doesn't work that way. So you say, well, Brother David, what is God's plan for Joshua? Why is he stalling? Why is he not attacking? God wants to teach them the same principle that he wants to teach us in our spiritual warfare. God wants to teach them to be patient. As a matter of fact, if you look at the text, according to Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 19, the nation crossed the river on the 10th day of the first month. The 10th day of the first month. The events that are described in Joshua chapter 5 took at least 10 days. And then you'll read further in chapter number 6 where the people march around Jericho. We know for 7 days they are marching around. That means that God is waiting approximately over 2 weeks before he even allows Israel to move forward. 2 weeks before he allows them to claim his first victory. You see, we want victory today. We want victory immediately. We want victory tomorrow. But there are some times that God stalls. There are some times that God waits. And God wants us to wait on him. And God wants us to saturate our life in prayer. The Lord waited because he wanted to teach them a very, very valuable principle when it comes to a spiritual warfare. And it's this, that God's delays are not his denials. Now, some people might be thinking because God is delaying that God is denying us access into Canaan land. That's not the case at all. God's delays are not his denials. Now, God may be delaying answering your prayer. God may be delaying in giving you victory. God's delays are not his denials. He's not trying to deny you victory. He is trying to teach you a spiritual principle that we all need in our life, that we've got to wait upon the Lord. Over and over again in the Bible, you'll find that God strategically initiates some delays. You'll read in the Bible in the book of Genesis that God waited to give Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. Why? Because God wanted to teach them that the Lord can do the impossible. You'll find that in the New Testament that Jesus waited several days after going to the tomb of Lazarus and raising him from the dead. Why? Because God wanted to teach them to wait on the Lord and to know that he is the resurrection and the life. When God needed a forerunner by the name of John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord, Zacharias and Elizabeth was given that young child, a young son in their old age. Why? To prepare the way for Messiah. So there are times in my life and in your life that God is going to delay some things. He's going to wait so you will have patience on him. Listen, if you hear anything today, I want you to hear this. God may conceal his purposes so we will live on his promises. God may conceal his purposes so that you and I can live on his promises. Over and over again in the Bible, you will see that God has called upon us to wait upon him, to trust in the promises of God, and this is exactly where Joshua is at. It's only as we go God's way can we know God's will. Someone say amen. And as Joshua goes God's way, he will understand God's will. Think about it. Israel is prepared for battle. They possess a very large army. They face an enemy that was terrified at their presence. However, the lesson needed to be learned that victory is not achieved by fighting. Victory is achieved by faith. And perhaps you need to hear that today. Victory in your life is not achieved by fighting. Victory is achieved by faith. Waiting on God, trusting in the Lord, that if we're going to cross the rivers of difficulties to walk on lands of opportunity, if we're going to face the spiritual battles in the days ahead, we do not fight with our fist. We do not fight that way. We fight with our faith. We have an awesome God who's on our side. He sits on a mighty throne. Somebody say amen. And he is leading us and guiding us and directing us every single inch of the way. We've got to trust in him. If you believe it, say amen. So this morning, I want you to note how God prepares us for spiritual battle. If you're taking notes with us, this is point number one. Let's talk about the consecration of our faith. The consecration of our faith. God prepares us for battle as he sanctifies our faith. That he gives us this spiritual resolve to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, you're not going to believe what you're going to find in chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, something very, very unusual takes place among the people of God. The first thing that the Lord's wanting to do, he wants to renew their covenant with the Lord. He wants to renew their covenant with the Lord. Now, how is he going to do that? The very first commandment that God gives them after they cross over the River Jordan, the Bible says in verse number 2, the very first commandment is that all the men have to be recircumcised. Now that was real encouraging. I'm sure all the men said amen to that, right? Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee a sharp knife and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. You say, well, Brother David, what in the world is going on here? Well, here's what's happening. When God reaffirmed his covenant with Abraham, he promised him the land of Canaan, that he would make him a great nation. And he warned that anybody that was not circumcised, they were violating the covenant promise. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 to verse number 4, you can read all about it. Now you need to remember, for 38 or 40 years now, the nation of Israel has been in rebellion. Remember when they came to Kadesh Barnea, that they rebelled against Moses and they rebelled against God. As they came to Kadesh Barnea, which is a point of decision, They believed that God did not love them. They believed that God did not care for them, that God brought them out here to die. And the people rose up against God's called leader. And as a result of that rebellion, and as a result of disobeying God, God does not let that generation go into the land of Canaan. They are punished, and they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The younger generation, like Joshua and Caleb, everybody under 20, they'll be able to enter in. But that generation for 40 years, they will die off in the wilderness. And you remember that. Note what the Lord said in Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 to verse 23. Here's a little history. The Bible says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Chapter 14, verse 28 and verse 29. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So all of those people are not allowed to go into the promised land, and they are going to die in that unbelief in the wilderness. And so what's going on here is, because of their unbelief and their spiritual neglect, God says these children that were born during that 40 years, they have to be circumcised. The parents that were living in the wilderness that 40 years, they were living in such unbelief that they were neglecting their spiritual responsibilities. They were neglecting to pass down the story of God's glory to their children. They were neglecting to circumcise their children when they were born that 40 years. Why? Because they're living in unbelief. They're living in doubt. They have rebellion in their heart. They don't believe that God can. And so they are rebelling against the Lord, and there is a generation of children that has been born during that time that is not walking according to the covenant promise. And so God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to recircumcise. That is, I want you to circumcise those children that have not been circumcised, and I want you to remind them, listen, that they are a marked people. That they are a marked people. They don't belong to the world. They belong to me. They don't belong to themselves. They belong to me. They are a marked people, chosen to do the very will of Almighty God. And guess what happens? They are circumcised. I want you to know this morning, we may not be marked, but we are certainly sealed and sanctified by God. Somebody say amen. God wants to remind you this morning, as we renew our covenant with God, as we renew our faith in the Lord, God wants to remind us that we too, in a sense, we are a marked people. We are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, you hath he also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18 says, wherefore come out among you of them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. God says, hey, you are sealed. God also says, you are separated for him. So we may not be necessarily a marked people like the Jews, but we are certainly sealed and sanctified by God. Before they could enter into God's promise, they had to renew their commitment unto the Lord. And before you can enter into God's promise, for you can be all that God wants you to be, perhaps this morning you need to renew your commitment to God. You need to come down to the altar and ask God to help you with your faith. You need to ask God to renew your spirit on the inside. Not only did God tell them, listen, here's what I want you to do to consecrate your faith. I want you to renew your commitment by getting all the men, all the boys, and I want you to circumcise them. Also, secondly, God wanted them to reaffirm their confidence. God wanted them to reaffirm their confidence in him. Now, this was a big step of faith by the children of Israel. Remember, they're on the other side of Jordan. They are in enemy territory. And if every male that's a part of the army is getting ready to be circumcised, they're going to be down for a couple of weeks. They're not going to be able to go into battle. They're going to be spiritually wounded, if you will, and they're going to have some time to heal. So think about it. Here are all of these men who Joshua is circumcised, and they are just basically sitting ducks for the enemy. It took a lot of faith for them to trust in Joshua to do this at this moment. These men might be thinking at any moment, the Canaanites might be upon us. At any moment, the Amorites might be upon us, and you want us to be circumcised now? Can't we do this later after we get beyond these two armies? Joshua says, no, this is what God wants us to do. God wanted to work in their weakness. God wanted to work in their weakness. And you need to know this morning, that sometimes God does his best work when we are weak. He is strong. Somebody say amen. God is wanting them to completely trust in him. He's wanting to consecrate their faith. They needed to reaffirm their confidence in God. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, if you want me to be wounded for your sake, if you want this to happen right now, if you want us to do this, then we're claiming victory. We know that you're on our side. We know that you will keep our enemies away from us. You will keep us strong. You will help us to heal in the days to come. And we will claim a Canaan land. And we will possess our possessions because, God, you are on our side. And I want you to know today, you may be weak in spirit, you may be weak in mind, you may be troubled at heart, but I want you to know if God is on your side, victory is yours. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. So here are the men waiting patiently on God. God is working in their weakness. This is how the Lord works. Paul reminds us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so God is getting ready to consecrate their faith. Second of all, if you're taking notes with us, not only does God prepare them for battle by consecrating their faith, but God also prepares them for battle by challenging their faith. There's the challenge of our faith. I want you to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now, Jericho is the next big obstacle. Jericho is a fortified city. You can't penetrate Jericho. And God is telling Joshua and the people, you're going to take care of Jericho. They just came out across the river, and that was water. This time, it's much different. The obstacle before them is not just water, but it's a walled city. And it's a walled city with an army. It's a walled city that has been around for many, many years. It's a big city. It's got huge walls. It's got a vast army. As a matter of fact, according to one historian, he said excavations there reveal that its fortification featured a stone wall of 11 feet high and 14 feet wide. It was wide enough for a chariot to ride on the top of it and go around the city and look for the enemy. 14 feet wide. At its top was a smooth stone slope angling upward at 35 degrees for 35 feet, where it joined a massive stone wall that towered even higher. It was virtually impenetrable. Joshua is looking at an impossible task. He is looking at something before him that he knows that within his own power, there is absolutely no way he's going to defeat the enemy. And the Bible says in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. I wonder what was going through Joshua's mind. I can see him standing out there and looking at the city from a distance. And he's wondering, how am I going to get through that? That's the direction I need to go. And Jericho is just staring back at him in defiance. Isn't that the way the devil works in our lives? We know that we've got to get over there. We know we got to get through this spiritual valley. We know we need to fight through this spiritual attack. And the devil stands there in defiance and says, bring it on. The devil stands there in defiance and says, you're never going to make it. You're not going to be able to do this. You're too weak. You're never going to make it through. I'm sure all of those thoughts were going through Joshua's mind. He's looking at a Jericho, an impossible task. Let me ask you this morning, what is your Jericho? What is the thing that's hindering your marriage right now? What is the thing that's hindering your membership here at the church? What is the thing that's hindering your ministry from getting you from here to get you to there? What is the Jericho that you are facing right now? In my years of ministry, I have found that there's a variety of different Jericho walls that people face. For some, it's an unhealthy body. They feel like they're never going to be able to do what God wants them to do because their body is unhealthy. Maybe they have a Parkinson's, maybe they have cancer, maybe they have a certain ailment, they have diabetes, maybe they have a weak heart, or they have terrible arthritis, and an unhealthy body is their Jericho. Every day that Jericho stares back at them and says, you can't be what God's called you to be. Look at the sickness that you have. Look at the suffering that you're going through. And the devil tempts you and taunts you and tells you that you're no good, that you are never going to make it. For some, it's an unhealthy body. For others, it's an unhappy marriage. There are some people that are miserable in their marriage because they've not given their heart to God. They've not given their heart to Christ. They're not looking to God. I want you to know, friend, that God wants your marriage to be happy and holy and healthy. You've got to submit to Him today. You've got to quit living out your marriage your way, and you've got to do it God's way. Somebody say amen. But an unhappy marriage is like a walled city that they're never going to get through. For others, it's an unholy life. For many others, it's an unsatisfactory job. They're so miserable on the job. For others, it's an unpleasant relationship, or it's an unforgettable memory. You've got this memory in your mind that you just can't get over. Maybe it's a past mistake. Maybe it's who you used to be. And the devil uses that to put a Jericho in your way. And he tells you, you're never going to make it. You're never going to go through. You'll never be a Joshua. You'll never be a spiritual hero. You'll never get through this. Look at what you've done. And that memory stands in your mind, and it hinders you from being all that God wants you to be. For others, it's uncertainty about the future. They're so afraid of what's going to happen next. Maybe you've got a sin that you're afraid that others are going to find out. Maybe you've been concealing some type of sin, and you've been hiding that sin, and you're afraid that people are going to find out, and you're uncertain about what's going to happen in the future. You're uncertain about your health. You're uncertain about your marriage. You're uncertain about your finances. And all of these things are like a walled city. And they stand in front of you, and they stare back in defiance and say, you are never going to make it. I want you to know, friend, when you're facing a Jericho, you can do one of two things. One, you can turn around and leave and live in unbelief. If God is the one that told you to get by Jericho, and if God is the one that said, I'm going to be on your side, then you need to move forward and go ahead. Or you can turn around and you can live in unbelief. You can live in doubt and live in fear and not trust in God. You can say, Lord, I'm never going to make it. Lord, I don't have enough strength. Lord, I can't get beyond this memory. I can't get beyond this unhealthy body. I can't get beyond this unhappy marriage. I can't get beyond this unhealthy life of mine. God, I'm going to turn around and I'm going back the other way and living in the wilderness in unbelief. You can do that, or you can choose to grab a hold of the hand of God and move forward and trust in the power of God and trust in God's might. You can choose to break down the barriers that separates you from the will of God, and you can move forward and move ahead for the glory of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd rather do the second one than the first one. Somebody say amen. I'd rather move ahead in victory. I'd rather move ahead, not in defeat, but I'd rather move ahead by grabbing a hold of God's hand and saying, God, if you want me on the other side, then that's exactly where I'm going to be. I'm moving ahead for your honor and for your glory. The Bible tells us that Joshua, God is preparing him and the people for battle. He is challenging their faith. Notice also, not only is he consecrating our faith and he's challenging our faith, but notice this. There is the captain of our faith that shows up during this time. I want you to notice this great text. It begins in verse number 13, is the text that we read here this morning. As Joshua appears at Jericho, there is a person that enters in on the scene. Joshua may be standing there, and maybe his heart is filling with doubt. Maybe he's sitting there and he's looking at Jericho saying, how in the world am I going to get from here to way over there? How am I going to take these 2 million people who were slaves in Egypt? Their grandfather were slaves. Their father was a slave. They themselves were born as slaves. How am I going to take these people and march through Jericho and deal with those walled cities and the mighty army of these Canaanite Jericho people? He's wondering, how am I going to get to the other side? And as he is pondering and staring at his Jericho, isn't it just like God to show up and give us some help? Someone say amen. When we are doubting and when we are in fear and we're wondering what we need to do, it's just like God to show up and help. As Joshua peers at Jericho, there's a person that enters the scene. Now, theologians will call this a theophany. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ before Bethlehem. If you want to know what Jesus was doing before he came as a babe in a manger in the Old Testament, he is known as the angel of the Lord. Now, this angel is much different from all the other angels in the Bible. The angel of the Lord is worship, and he accepts worship. You'll read in the book of Revelation that when John seen the city of heaven, that the angel was taking him around and showing him the city, and John tried to worship that angel. Do you remember that? He bowed down, and the angel said, "Get up. There's only one that's deserving of worship, and that is God." And so the angel of the Lord is different from all other angels because he accepts worship, he receives worship, he speaks as God, and what you have here is Jesus coming on the scene. Listen, friend, when you are faced with a Jericho, you need Jesus to come on the scene, and he will come on the scene. You've got to put your faith and your trust and your hope in him. You can't get your mind on the Jordan. You can't get your mind on Jericho. Hey, you've got to get your mind on Jesus. Somebody say amen. And all of a sudden, the Bible says this angel of the host, He appears. Look at verse number 13. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him," listen, "with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Now notice question. He sees this guy with a sword. He's sitting there pondering, thinking about, what am I going to do with Jericho? The man comes on the scene, and he's got a sword in his hand. And Joshua turns around and says, "Are you for us or are you against us? Who are you?" Joshua is saying, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or are you on the enemy's side? You need to identify yourself, sir. You need to let me know, are you fighting with my people? Have we met yet? Is that sword belong to Israel, or does your sword belong to the Canaanite armies of the world? Who are you? Are you on my side or their side? Now, the strangest answer comes back from this individual. Look at verse 14. "And he said, no." He said, "Nay." He said, "But as captain of the Lord's army of the Lord, I am now come." Here's what he says. He goes, "I'm not on your side, Joshua, and I'm not on the enemy's side. I'm not on nobody's side. I didn't come here to take sides. I came here to take over." Somebody say amen right there. That's where you're supposed to shout. He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And I want you to know the reason why there's fighting and there's division and there's fussing and fighting within our churches today is because we have picked sides. We don't need to pick sides. We need to be on the Lord's side. Somebody say amen. God said, "I'm not coming to be on your side, Joshua. I'm not coming to be on the enemy's side. I'm coming to take over. I am the Lord's captain, the Lord of hosts. And from now on, I'm going to be the one that's going to take you through Jordan. I'm going to be the one that's taking you through Jericho. I'm going to be the one that will get you from here over there." Somebody say amen. God is telling us here this morning, if you want victory over the Jerichos in your life, stop trying to recruit God to your side. Stop saying, "God, you need to do this for me. You need to know God's not a genie in a bottle. He's not granting you three wishes. God is not an errand boy going out and doing your bidding. God said, I'm not here to take anybody's side. I'm here to take over. From this moment forward, Joshua, you must decide to get on the Lord's side. And this morning, I'm telling you, when God prepares you for battle, you have got to decide, I'm going to get on the Lord's side. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my goals. It's not about my wants. It's not about my dreams. It is about the will of God, the sovereign will of God in my life. I'm going to let God take over all things. And that's exactly what happened. Joshua immediately identifies Jesus, or the Lord of hosts, as the problem solver to his problem. Joshua is out there looking at Jericho and he sees the problem. And the problem solver shows up and says, let me take over and I'll get you to the other side. Today you're staring at your Jericho. And I want you to know that this morning the problem solver is here. And he's already whispering in your fear and in your pain what you need to do. You need to yield yourself to God. You need to come, just as the songwriter said, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come unto you. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. Joshua fell to the ground, not worrying about his problem, but he is worshiping the problem solver. Notice verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. Boy, isn't it great that we can take our worry and turn it into worship? That we can take our fears and it can be transformed into faith? That's exactly what Joshua did. He's not worried about the problem anymore. He's worshiping the problem solver. And this is the best thing of all. Look at verse number 14. Joshua understands his position before the Lord. Look at verse 14. He said, nay, but as captain of the Lord of hosts, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, listen to this, what saith my Lord unto his, what's the next word, church? Servant. Now Joshua's not a servant. Joshua is the captain of the host of Israel. He is the successor of the great man Moses, the man of God. God has commissioned him in chapter number 1 and said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Study the word of God, meditate in the word, you'll have victory and success all the days of your life. You're the man, Joshua. You're the captain. You're the general. You're the leader of the host of Israel. But here in this experience, Joshua understands his spiritual position. He's not the captain. He's a servant of the Lord. He has the privilege of God delegating out responsibilities to him, but he is simply a servant. You know, a lot of times, a lot of preachers and pastors, they act like they're CEOs of the church and that they're lords over God's heritage. I want you to know that I'm not a CEO. God never called me to be a CEO. God called me to be a shepherd. God called me to be a servant unto the church. And these are my acting responsibilities. And you need to know that God has called you to be a servant of the church. Those are your responsibilities. Joshua understands his proper role. He is worshiping God and he realized that I'm just a servant. I'm just like anybody else. God's delegated these responsibilities out to me, but I am just a servant of the Lord. And he takes his worries and he transforms it into worship. And God begins to mold his man as the captain of our faith shows up. Last of all, there's one more point. You guys have been great. Notice how God prepares us for battle. Last of all is the compliance of our faith. The compliance of our faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. Here's another question. Joshua in this chapter has all sorts of questions. Look at verse 14. He says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? At this point, Joshua realizes that as God has come on the scene to take over, that he's just a following servant, that if he's going to get through Jericho, it's not going to be by human means, military might. It's going to be supernatural that God's going to be the one that will get them over to the other side. What the Lord needs Joshua to do at this point, he needs him to comply. He needs him to comply. He needs him to trust in the Lord. And what God needs you to do at this point, he needs you to comply. He needs you to take your faith and trust in him. And so Joshua says, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Tell me, I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I will do. And the most oddest request comes from God. You would think that God would say, go sharpen your sword, go rally the troops, mount the horses, we're going on an attack tomorrow, your victory is surely yours. But that's not what God says. Look at verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. You know, every time I read this verse, I think of Peg McCamey. You guys ever seen Peg McCamey? Peg will start singing, and she'll get up in a big way, and all of a sudden she'll shout, and she'll kick her shoes right off on the stage. And I read this verse, I'm reminded of her. You know what it means? It means that God's presence is there, that you're standing on holy ground. Joshua, I want you to walk a holy life. As a matter of fact, this is the first time in the book of Joshua that the word holy is used. In the Greek, it's the word hagios. We get the word sanctification and the word holy from the word hagios. It means to be separated unto God. God wanted Joshua to know, I want you to have a brand new walk. If you're going to get beyond Jericho, it's because you have a holy life and you have faith in me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that God wants you to be holy. And if you're going to get beyond the Jericho, you've got to consecrate your life to God. You've got to comply to the captain of our salvation. You've got to say, Lord, from this moment forward, I'm going to have a spiritual walk, and I will conquer my Canaan. I will possess my possession. I will go over on the other side of Jericho, because you are the one that is leading and guiding and directing me. Are you mopping up what I'm spilling? Say amen right there. Right? You get what I'm saying? This is what God wants us to do in every single circumstance or area of life. God wants us to make sure that we are in compliance to his will. So Joshua, take your shoes off, son, because the place you're standing right now is holy ground. God's presence is here, and I want you to walk a holy life from this day forward. I personally believe that in the church today, there are some people that are straddling the fence. They've got one foot in the world, and they've got another foot in the church. They enjoy drinking booze. They enjoy pornography. They enjoy the bad movies. They enjoy going to the worldly places of life. And yet, at the same time, they enjoy singing, I'll Fly Away, Amazing Grace, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. They enjoy Sunday school. They enjoy the time of faith that we have together. I want you to know, friend, the blessings of God will not come upon your life if you decide to straddle the fence. You need to take off your shoes, because this place is holy ground. Somebody say amen. That is the place where you walk with God. It is holy unto the Lord. God is with you. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Hey, listen, if God told Joshua to take off his shoes and the place that he was standing at was holy ground, listen, God lives within us. That means everywhere we walk, in our home, on the job, here at the church, at the ball field, on vacation, in the restaurant, no matter where we are at, God lives on the inside of us. And so everywhere we walk, the presence of the Lord should be magnified and should be seen, and it ought to be holy. Somebody say amen. And I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today to walk a holy life. Curtis, I'm going to ask you to come to the piano, and I want to give you an opportunity to come and to pray and to talk to God. I want to give you an opportunity to help you to prepare for battle. Let me ask you again, listen, what is your Jericho? This is what I'm trying to get at through the whole sermon. What is your Jericho? What is impeding you from being where you need to be? Maybe this week you've had a tough time and you're looking at a Jericho. You're saying, Brother David, I don't know how to get to the other side. You've got to let go and let God. Amen? You've got to let go, and you need to let God take you to the other side. Whatever your Jericho is, here's what I want you to do. why don't you allow the problem solver to show up, and why don't you bow your head and worship? Why don't you just worship God and say, Lord, I know this is what I need to do. I know this is where I need to be. And this problem is not going to be a problem anymore because I'm putting my faith and my trust and my hope in you. Would you bow your heads as I pray for you this morning? Father in heaven.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.